see this number this morning. If you take your Bible and turn it to the 139th Psalm, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. Psalm 139. Good to have some visiting with us. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. Have no intention of belittling anything you might believe to be true, and yet at the same time have the responsibility of preaching the truth of God. Find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song Brother Daniel suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. I'm glad to baptize you into Christ this morning for the remission of your sins. In the 139th Psalm, if you will, begin reading with me at verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought from afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot obtain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. You know, many times when an individual gets up to preach, it's on. It's supposed to, green light was on. We'll try it again. It's on now. Anytime an individual gets up to preach the Word of God, one thing one needs to understand is that God's Word can be simple. Many times an individual can take what God's Word has said and make it more complicated. But this morning, instead of using big words, I want to take just one phrase, and one simple phrase from the 139th Psalm, and use that phrase and put it into my heart and put it into your heart. And the phrase I want us to understand is, God is there. And when you read the 139th Psalm, you can read from the first 10 verses, and you'll recognize that David proclaims that anywhere man goes, God is there. And I want you to stop and think about whether it's good or evil that I'm doing, wherever it may be that I am, God is there. I want you to take just a moment in your Bible, in the 139th Psalm, and notice with me that even in my thoughts, God is there. David said, you searched me and you've known me. And then he said, you know my thoughts. Have you ever thought that in your thinking, God is there? Whether your thoughts be upon evil or whether your thoughts be upon good things, God knows your thoughts. If you take your Bible and look in the book of Genesis and the 6th chapter, you'll find in about verse 5 that in the days of Noah, the Bible said that the mind of man was upon evil continuously. And because God knew the thought and intent of the heart of man, God repented that he ever made man. When God looked down and saw the thoughts of man, he repented that he created man because man's mind was upon evil continuously. And so one thing I need to put in my heart, and I want to put in your heart this morning, is that God is there in my thoughts. If you take your Bible and look in the book of Matthew in the 5th chapter, you'll find in about verses 27 and 28 that Jesus is speaking. And Jesus, when he is speaking on this occasion, warns against our thoughts. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 27, he said, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You know that God recognizes when our mind is upon evil. And Jesus warns against our mind being upon those things which are ungodly. I need to understand that God knows my thoughts. That God knows me very intimately. He knows my motives, and God understands what I'm thinking. And so this morning, one thing I need to understand in my thought, God is there.
But then if you take your Bible, notice again in the 139th Psalm that David says, wherever I go, you are there. So that means when I go to my occupation, that God is there. I think maybe some might have in mind that God is here when we worship, but when we go out to our jobs and when we go to work and when we're at our occupation, God is not there. But in the 139th Psalm in verse 2, he said, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought from afar. He understands when we are at work. God is there. So I need to be honest in my business dealings. I need to be an individual that's upright in my work because God is there. But then when you think about the home life, I think some people labor under the impression that whatever I do at home is my business and no one else's business. But I want us to understand that in the home life, God is there. If you're unkind to your spouse, or if you're unkind to your children, if you're unkind to your parents, you disregard God's word in your relationship in the home life, God sees that. God knows that. God is there. But I want us to understand in our words, God is there. Have you ever stopped to think the things that we say? God knows our words. God understands what we say, and God hears the words. If you take your Bible in the book of James in the 3rd chapter, you remember that James talks about that the tongue of man is a small part of man, but it's powerful. And I want us to understand there's not one word that comes from our tongue that God does not know. God hears our words. God knows our thoughts. God is there. But then when you think about recreation, have you ever stopped to think about when we go out and enjoy our life that God is there? I believe some labor with the impression when you take a break or go on vacation, that includes getting away from God. But I want us to understand this morning, when I go out and I have fun and I enjoy life, I need to remember to be wholesome in what I do because God is there. I'll never forget one time I was in Charlotte, Tennessee, and I went down and I was talking to some people. And this man just kept cussing and kept cussing and kept cussing. And all of a sudden the mayor looked over and said, have you met the preacher from Central in Charlotte? And that man said, oh, I didn't know you was a preacher. He said, you know, the Lord has blessed me. And he changed it. But you recognize that I'm not the judge. God was there the entire time. And sometimes we think we change our behavior because a preacher's in the room or because an elder's in the room. I want us to understand we can be alone on the golf course, Jess Heiss, and hitting that golf ball, and God is there. I want us to understand that God is there when we are off in our recreation, when we are at work, when we're in the home, wherever we are, God is there. But that brings up another thought in our study. If you take your Bible in the 139th Psalm, look, if you will, at verse 11. And notice that in the circumstances in life, God is there. He said, if I say, surely the darkness shall all follow me, even the night shall be light about me. Now, he talks about darkness, and darkness often refers to trouble. Some try to hide from God when things are not going like they like. And notice he said in verse 11, in the darkness, he said, even the darkness shall not hide from you. You know, sometimes we think we can get off, and God doesn't care when life is dark and when life is hard. But David said, I recognize that God is there. You can't hide from God. And when I'm hurting, God is there. But also when I'm doing wicked, God is there. You remember when Jonah tried to flee from God? He tried to get away from God. No matter where Jonah went, God was there. And if you turn your back on God in the day of trials, you fail to see God is there. I've often thought about how people can turn on God because they don't feel that God is giving them their due here. And there are a lot of people that when trials come and they don't stop and consider all the blessings, they just think God has cursed them because they're going through a trial. And yet, the one you need to turn to is God. When you're going through a trial, don't turn from God, turn to God. And that's what David said. David said, even in the darkness it shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. You ever thought about in the dark times of life, where are you going to turn? When it feels like nobody else cares and you feel all alone, you know who's there? God is there. I've often thought about when I'm hurting and it doesn't seem like anyone else understands what I'm going through. One I know understands is my Father. And the Bible says God is there. I thought about a story about a preacher I heard who was dying. And he lifted up his eyes and he said, I know God is there. Now, I don't believe in miraculous visions, but I tell you, if a man is right with God, I know God is there. Have you ever thought in the dark periods of life, when trials and troubles come and your heart hurts, God is there? And I need to remember that. But then I want you to notice something else. In your Bible, look in verse 13. In verse 13, it says, for you form my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eye saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. Now you think about when your children were born, who was there? Can you imagine that time when your child was born and you first held that child? And now some of you are grandparents, and the time you first held that grandchild, you were there during that time. But you know who else was there? God was there. God was there even before the birth, when they were in the womb was there. You know, I'll tell you, one thing we need to mark down. Abortion is wrong. You want to know why? God is there in the womb. There was a story and a thing, I believe it's right. It said if wombs had windows, there would be no abortion. And you think about that God skillfully wrought this child. God was there when the child was formed. God put the soul in that child. And when I think about birth, I need to remember God was there. But then think about when death comes. When you come to the grave, have you ever thought about the abode of the dead in verse 8? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're there. God is there at the dead. That's why David said in the 23rd Psalm, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear. Why? God is there. The shepherd is there, the one who cares for me, the one that loves me, the one that can help me get from this life to the next. So when I look around, I see God is in my thoughts, God is in my life, God knows my words, God is there when I'm in dark times and in troubled times, God was there when I'm born, God is there when I die. I'll tell you where else God is. If you take your Bible, look if you will in verse 22. In verse 22, you remember that it talks about judgment. Here he's talking about individuals who hated God. He said in verse 19, oh, that you would slay the wicked. He says they're bloodthirsty men. He says in verse 20, they speak evilly against you or wickedly. They take your name in vain. And he says, I hate them because they hate you. And then he says, I count them my enemies. I want you to take note that David said they're guilty of hating God. And he says, you know, God, I realize you're going to bring judgment upon them. I want us to understand that in the day of judgment, God is there. Open your Bible, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look, if you will, at verse 10. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, notice that Paul said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. God will be there in the judgment. You want to know who's going to render the judgment? God will. So I want us to understand that in judgment, God is there. But then if you take your Bible, look if you will in the book of Matthew in the 11th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew in the 11th chapter, we need to understand that God is there to accept you. Wouldn't it be terrible if God looked down upon us without mercy and love and compassion? Wouldn't it be a terrible thought to think that God did not want a relationship with us? Wouldn't it be terrible this morning if He hadn't sent His Son to die as a sacrifice for our sin? And to think that He wouldn't accept us. But in Matthew 11 and verse 28, isn't it beautiful to think of the words that Jesus said when He said, "Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." He's there to accept us. He's there when we come back. One of the most beautiful things is when an individual comes down that aisle and is baptized into Christ. But I'll tell you something else that's beautiful. When you see someone who's left and they repent and they turn from their sin and they come back to you, you know who's there to accept? God's there. God wants His people. God wants people to come to Him, and His call and cry is to all people, "Come to Me." Isn't that beautiful? That God is there to accept and to receive you when you make your life right. And that's why the psalmist said in the 139th Psalm, "I will praise Thee. I will glorify Thee." David spent his life glorifying and praising God because he recognized wherever he went in life, God was there. That he could not flee from God's presence. There was no escape in the eye of God. But instead of finding fear in that, you know what David found? Comfort. Because he recognized his Father was looking over him with compassion and love. And when he made his wrongs right, God would forgive him. You know what David looked forward to, and I think we should all look forward to? Heaven. You want to know why? Because God is there. You want to know one place you'll never see God? In hell eternal. Now, in the 139th Psalm, he talks about descending into hell. He's talking about descending to the grave. He's not talking about the eternal abode of the wicked one. Because we recognize that the eternal abode of where Satan and his angels go from Matthew 25, 41, those that live contrary to God's will, when they're cast into outer darkness, that is eternal separation from God. That's one place you'll not find God. You'll find God in His creation. You'll find God on this earth. You'll find God in heaven. But one place you'll never find God is when you've been cast into eternal damnation. God is here. Today we've come together to give glory to God, to praise God, to honor God. We've sang songs of praise. We let God know that we honor Him as our Father. And we glorify Him. And we want to spend eternity with Him. But if we live our life running from God, even though God sees every move we make and knows our thoughts, and we spend our life living contrary to Him, I tell you what, we're going to spend eternity separated from Him. See, God will give us our wish. Though God is in our thoughts, and God knows our hearts, and God knows our desires, and God knows our motives, and God knows our words, and God knows our lives, intimately, more intimately than anybody else. If we decide that we aren't going to take part in loving Him and living for Him, He'll give us that choice here. But there will come a day you will be separated from Him. And while He's here, and while we have opportunity, you know what His call is? Come unto Me. There are some in this congregation, or in this audience, I'll just say this, there are some in this audience who haven't come to Him. And you might be going off for a while. You may be living separate from mother and daddy. You may be separate from your parents. You may be separate from your spouse. You need to understand one thing. Wherever you go, God is there. And one day you're going to answer to God. My question is, my friend, are we living to please Him? If you're here this morning, you've never been baptized into Christ, God is here. God is calling you. God wants you to accept Him and accept His will, obey His word, and we pray you'll do so as together we stand and sing.